Well, he's a truth seeker. He sticks his neck out there. Alex Jones with us. We're going to be back. We're going to talk more with him about his perspective on the world, and we'll take some of your calls next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Alex Jones with us. We'll take your calls in a moment. Alex, back to that story of the Iranian and the plants within this country. And there's no question Hezbollah and other groups are being funded by some crazed princes of Saudi Arabia and places like that. But I got to believe this Iranian that they probably have assets in this country.
Well, that's where I was going when we came up to the end of the last hour, just giving people some of the background. I know most of your listeners are highly informed because you cover a lot of the different angles of this. It's just that whenever I talk about staged terror, some terror attacks like the Boston bombing clearly have all the earmarks of a drill, of patsies, of the brothers being sent to Central Asia and to other areas by the CIA, of a stand down that day. So there are events that are staged to take our liberties and politically distract us in false flag events, inside jobs. But there's also real events. And listen, there's no opinion here, ladies and gentlemen. We've always known that Iran has been putting sleeper teams into the United States, just as the United States in the last decade has been trying to overthrow Iran, putting sleeper teams into their country. And that's why the Joint Chiefs of Staff 4 months ago went to President Obama when John Kerry and others were saying we've got to get behind al-Qaeda and bring down Assad, and gave him an ultimatum, because Iran, and I have this from high-level special forces contacts and I'm on record, already has nuclear weapons they got from Russia and Pakistan, just like Saudi Arabia has now announced they've got nukes. They've had nukes for a long time. They're just able now to make more nukes with the centrifuges and things. And it's not just that the Joint Chiefs aren't willing to have a war. It's that they know that Iran, from my intel, doesn't just have sleeper teams in the U.S., but probably has the components to quickly assemble atomic or hydrogen bombs. That's why they're launching blimps over the U.S. looking for radiation. That's why they've got all the increased helicopters looking for radiation, looking for the signature of the isotopes of what they believe is the Iranian bomb. Jeez. I'm not trying to scare people, folks. You have the top Iranian commander, the top commander of Iran's Revolutionary Guard, that's their military, boasted Saturday that his forces have plans in place to attack the United States from within should the U.S. attack the Islamic Republic.
And that's important. If we attack them, I assume he's saying if we don't, nothing's going to happen.
And that's why al-Qaeda is basically a made-up, synthetic, Western-funded, Saudi Arabian-funded terror group. When you talk about Iran, this is actual real force, and the Joint Chiefs don't want these terror groups to make 9/11 look like a picnic, unfortunately. And so they said, plus it's immoral to back al-Qaeda and Saudi Arabia. That's why the U.S. pulled out of trying to topple Assad. So geopolitically, this is a big deal, but still, it's an incredible statement by their chairman of their Joint Chiefs. That's who this guy is.
I think it was a warning, or did you think he wanted the American people to say, oh my God, this really could happen. Enough is enough.
Well, let's read what he said, and then we'll get your take, and I'll give you mine.
All right.
Quote, America, with its strategic ignorance, this is him speaking, does not have a full understanding of the power of the Islamic Republic. Brigadier General Hossein Salam said in a televised interview, we have recognized America's military strategy, and we have arranged our abilities, and we've identified centers in America for an attack that will create a shock. Now, let's stop right there. He went on to say that we will conduct such a blow in which America will be destroyed from within, Salami said. And his name's really Salami, folks. I'm not just saying that.
No, you're right. That is his name.
Now, expanding on General Salami's statements here, folks, you have to understand that this is not a bluff. But I need to tell the Iranians something. And I know they listen to my show. They listen to your show. They even republish Infowars.com articles in the state-run media.
By the way, you're being heard tonight for the first time in Helsinki, Finland. They just picked up the program.
I heard that. I don't know of any other American radio shows that get picked up in Europe. Congratulations, George. I want to talk on 500-plus radio stations across the world directly to the Iranians right now. Listen, you say the U.S. government has miscalculated. They didn't miscalculate. That's why they didn't didn't back the overthrow of your ally Assad, and you better be glad the Pentagon did that, because they've got bunkers. They know you've got sleeper teams, and Iran, if you do attack the U.S., you're going to end up being turned into a glass parking lot. So don't think that the people running this country have miscalculated. Good people in the military have stopped an escalation in a immoral war, and there are a lot of criminal forces in our government and globally that want a giant war and want to be able to nuke every square inch of Iran and want to be able to bring in a new police state out of the attack you launch. So I would tell Iran, if you do end up getting hit militarily, I suggest you stand down, because if you end up activating forces here, you're going to have your country destroyed. So I will tell Iran something right now. I don't want a war. I've tried to stop a war. The Joint Chiefs have tried to stop a war. Okay? But the globalists want us all to kill each other. And so we need to tell Iran to back off. I understand this is a warning to America. But it's a little bit of bragging, too, now that they think a peace deal has been made. The globalists plan on making Iran look like they break a peace deal before they attack you. And now that he said this, the New World Order criminal elements that are in all major governments, they may stage a terror attack in America now and blame it on Iran and start World War III. So, Iranians, you think the U.S. government doesn't understand your strategy? Think again. That's all I have to say, George.
And thank God for the Second Amendment, Alex, because every American out there would come to the defense of this country if need be.
Well, absolutely. And if there is a terror attack and the government says, turn your guns in, like they did in Boston, because one guy was on the loose and came in everybody's houses, or if you know, for Katrina, they took the guns. If there's a national emergency, every study shows more guns means more law and order. If the government tries to take the guns during an emergency, you know that's treason against this country, and it's the same thing as a foreign Iranian threat. See, people only think of a foreign Russian or Chinese or Iranian threat, and some of those are real threats. What about the corporate globalist threat in suits and ties, bankrupting our country, banker bailouts? You know, that's my issue with the NFL. You've got billionaire owners that are tax-exempt, getting their billion-dollar stadiums paid for, and you've got security paid for by the federal and state and local governments in New Jersey. And sure, it brings money to the economy. Here's my issue. I've had grandparents before and family who couldn't pay their property tax and were going to be thrown out in the street if family didn't come to their aid. Record numbers of Americans can't pay their property taxes, and places like Chicago are doubling it. What happens when an old lady can't pay the tax? Does she get an exemption? What happens when somebody loses their job or hurts
Heck
their back?
No. They lose their houses.
They lose it. So I don't like to take Austin. Billions of dollars were spent to build a Formula One track by the owner that's worth tens of billions of dollars. And he gets people to build his tracks worldwide, and then he gets government to pay for the security. Hell, why not just give them all our money? How about I just give the owner of Formula One my house? I mean, you know, how about to Jerry Jones, you know, up there who just got a new billion-plus-dollar stadium and all this stuff and makes $500 million a year or something. Hey, how about my kids, Jerry? I mean, what's enough for you? We're overtaxed. We're going bankrupt to the point we can't even buy these tickets. That's crony capitalism. That's the enemy of free market, is foreign banks that own our government passing Obamacare to make everybody buy their health care at double the price, or Obamacare being a foreign tax, Supreme Court ruled, to these offshore insurance companies, or tens of trillions to banker bailouts of our taxpayer money. Enough. We're being looted by a corporate class that then points their finger at capitalism and says that it did it. No. Big government and big corporations together did this, and it's called a kleptocracy. It's called a screw job, and we're going to be like Nigeria or Mexico in a couple more years if we don't turn this around. The threat to America is endemic insider corruption and insider trading and a gangster gulag archipelago of manipulation. That's what's killing us, George.
We're going to take calls in a second with you, Alex, but I want to get your take on what's happening to the retail establishments folding their doors because of internet sales, Sears, Target, Macy's, all the big ones. What's happening?
Well, part of it is that people are converting to the internet, that it's so much quicker, so much easier. People don't like being harassed and having their receipt looked at the big box stores. But the big issue is, according to all the economists I've interviewed, and I've no exaggeration, I've probably heard 50 mainline economists on your show the last 5 years talk about this or more. I mean, I hear it every couple of weeks. I hear one on breaking down the fact that you have a recession and a depression on Main Street, and you have a bubble on Wall Street, and you have a rigged insider monopoly economy. And for 5 years, we've been in a depression. We never left the recession. They pumped tens of trillions of fiat dollars out there, but only to select inside groups. And so certain areas are boom, but most of the country and the world is a bust. Spain, the rest of Europe is in a depression. That's why there's unrest all over the world. But they've learned how to not admit things are going on. So the public, I'll never forget, I was watching the White House press secretary, Perino, back under Bush about 7 years ago, when gas was so much, oil prices were so high, and the dollar was being devalued. And they said in the press conference, is gas prices high because of dollar devaluation? And she said, well, government's not going to make a statement on dollar devaluation. Well, the press could have gone and just looked at the dollar being down at that time, and that was the biggest reason that oil costs more, because you buy oil globally in dollars, the petrodollar. She knew that, but because they wouldn't make a statement then, I saw that press conference live. 30 minutes later, there were headlines everywhere saying, no one knows if the dollar is lost value. Huh. You could go online and look at the currency market.
You could track it.
And tell you.
Yeah, you could track it.
So it's the same deal. We're in a depression for most people, but they won't admit it. Look, I've got family that has multiple college degrees, have worked hard their whole lives. They've still got jobs, but they can't hardly buy food or drive into work because the gas costs so much, and people just don't have money anymore. Let's be honest about it.
All right, let's go to some calls now, Alex. Let's go to Tim in Toronto, Canada, on the international line. Tim, welcome to the program.
Hi, am I speaking to Alex?
Alex is here.
Yep,
Andrew. Oh, hi. I've been trying to call into your show in Austin for so long, and I was just curious to know if, with the revelations of the NSA spying, do you think that they're possibly pre-screening your calls? I mean, I hear a lot of the same characters call in, and I find it strange considering how difficult it is to call in. And my second issue was with... I know I'm here in Toronto on the corner of Melbourne and Cowan Avenue, and I know that in the past you talked about how you woke up because of the police intelligence or police dealing drugs in your city. Is that correct?
Yes, I witnessed that in Dallas growing up.
And in terms of call screening, have you ever had trouble with your calls, Alex? Like you're interviewing a guest and all of a sudden they're gone?
Sure, and a lot of that's just normal mistakes and things that happen. But, you know, what happens is just like with your show or any broadcast, you get the super fans that call in and lie about who they are and kind of get on a lot. That's why we tend to do first-time callers. But I don't think there's a conspiracy, you know, on that front. Look, quite frankly, most people I talk to in government are more awake than the general public. Look at this NSA whistleblower that just, you know, went public in the last year. Look at how all these revelations are taking place. Look at how they just had in Politico last week a high-level TSA screener, Jason Harrington, went public and said, look, we make fun of your naked bodies. There's no terrorist. It's all fake. We rob your bags. Well, we already know all this, but their own people are quitting and going public. But listen, I don't need to know about the NSA from Snowden. I knew about it in 1996.
You knew about it way before he did, probably.
Because exactly, there were whistleblowers back then, like Wayne Madsen and countless others. Listen, and maybe after we take calls, I can talk about it. But all the new technology, all the cell phones, the computers, the cable boxes, since 96, have tracker chips in them, have microphones, have cameras, and are listening to you. I told people that school laptops are watching you. Now that's public. I know it sounded crazy, but not because I'm crazy, but because the globalists are out of control. If they're going to steal a dollar, why not steal a billion? If the New World Order is going to go for broke, why not go all the way? That's the point. A criminal class has basically infested government, churches, corporations, everything. And that's why we have to be workers in the light, a.k.a. George Norrie, that's what his name means, to actually counter the darkness. It's all a battle of good versus evil in the final equation.
We go west. Bill is in Snowflake, Arizona. Hi, Bill. Welcome to the program.
Oh, yeah. Good evening, guys. Second-time caller to Coast, long-time listener.
Thank you, Bill.
Caller to Alex, and I've listened to you forever. I bring up the proxy war, and your very first guest you had on, he was describing Vietnam. Just, we always say we don't want to end up in a quagmire, and we use Vietnam as an example, but it's just a different landmass.
You know, I could have just said it like you in 10 seconds instead of that 20-minute dissertation. That's it. We don't want to be in a proxy war with Russia and China, with Iran, and then we're on the side of Saudi Arabia and Al-Qaeda. I mean, there's no winner in all this. What do you do then, caller, when all the sides are bad? What do you do?
We're always the ones that end up fighting a stand-up. Everybody else lets the village people get killed as they run wave against us, and we're trying to combat the tyranny and dictatorship, really, from what our government tries to tell us. But I think we've all learned that the government is completely lawless. And oh my God, you said it all, that the new monitors all have the privacy lever that you can flip a little piece of plastic over the camera lens.
And by the way, going back 10, 15 years ago, people would come in my house and say, why do you have tape over the camera on the computer, and laugh at me? But I knew people were waking up about 5 years ago when suddenly I'd be at people's houses for a party or a dinner party and everybody had a piece of tape over it. Long before Snowden, everybody had tape over it. Okay, folks?
It's amazing.
Now they admit they're watching us.
Technology is truly amazing, Alex. So what are you working on these days with InfoWars.com? What projects are you up to?
You know, I've been working on a film called The Obama Deception 2 for about 3 years, and I just keep updating it. It's not even really about Obama. It's about the deception that Obama is actually running something when he's just a puppet, and these foreign interests have basically hijacked the nation. I'm working on that. It should be out in March or April. It's had a lot of family stuff going on, some deaths in the family and things, but that's almost been taken care of now.
Good.
And we're working on launching a new InfoWars.com in about 2 weeks, a new PrisonPlanet.com, a new design. We've got the InfoWars Nightly News, where people can see the Nightly News, and we are just trying to get all the other great libertarians and freedom lovers on the site, like yourself, George. Anytime, I know you're a busy guy and hard to get on, but anytime you want to put an article up or have any of your great research or info on InfoWars.com,
super.
I'm not doing you a favor. You're doing me a favor. And so we're all just working together. You know, in the final equation, I am really trying to just be inclusive of not just people I've worked with for over a decade like yourself, but everybody who wants to try to save this country and this world. I mean, people call me all the time or send me email and thank me, and I say, look, please, you don't need to thank me. Just say dittos. The issue is it's like we're in a boat together bailing water out, and we're almost to the shore, but we're a couple miles away.
As long as we have buckets and not little cans, that's the big thing. Alex, we're going to come back with you in a moment. Alex Jones with us here on Coast to Coast AM. By the way, all these emerging artists, their websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Take a look at some of the work they do. Some really great musicians all over this place. Really great. Beyond Belief, that's our television program. Do take a look. It's 10 days free. A number of great guests on that program as we move into February. It is a very fast-growing television show, and I think you'll like it. BeyondBelief.com, www.beyondbelief.com. Welcome back. Alex Jones with us. We'll wrap things up by taking your final calls. Alex, what continues to drive you? You just don't stop.
Well, just like you, George, I love talking to people. I'm just so honored to be on your show. It's just so amazing to be able to reach out through the ether and talk to 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 million people a night, 16 million people a week on your great show, on my own little show and my news websites. It's so good to be able to reach out to people and to hear their ideas, to share your ideas, and try to build humanity's future. Folks that tell me they're bored, I don't know what planet they're living on. There is just so much mystery, so much,
oh my gosh,
so much wonder, so many things to do, so many people to meet. I just want to encourage people to, you know, get outside the box, stop watching so much mainline television. talk radio, all the studies show, increases IQ because it makes you visualize what you're hearing, not just respond to it. Read a book. Go climb a mountain. Go visit, some cool haunted house that you hear George talking about on air. Just get into the magic and mystery of life. That's what it's all about, and that's what drives me. And it's such a critical juncture in our species' future. Everything is being decided right now, ladies and gentlemen. We are living in the greatest time in human history where we decide if we're going to go to the stars together or whether we're going to destroy ourselves. We are at that point, at that crossroads right now, and we're talking about it with so many people. That's just a blessing.
Okay, let's go now to Jonathan in Vivian, Louisiana, east of the Rockies. Thanks for holding, John. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Hey, Alex.
Howdy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, it's awesome talking to both of you guys. I want to ask Alex something. Do you think Obamacare is going to turn into another bailout? And I'm going to have to take my answer off there.
Okay, you got it. His phone's breaking up a little bit, but he wanted to know if there's going to be another bailout with the health care program.
Absolutely. In every culture, from ancient Rome to Latin America today, if a president or somebody screws up or the head of a government agency screws up, they're fired. If you screw up royally, you're fired. Well, nowadays in America, if FEMA messes up at Katrina, they get double the funding. Or if NORAD stands down on 9/11, they get double the funding or more. We reward failure. And so they're going to fail on purpose. And yes, Obamacare is a bailout to foreign banks that own the insurance companies. It's a corporate tax. It's a way to cut the quality of care, make people buy it. It's a total scam job. Even the unions are going public. And then when it fails, as Rahm Emanuel's brother, the architect of it, Ezekiel Emanuel, said on Fox Sunday a month ago or 2 months ago, they're going to fully bankrupt the healthcare system and bring in total socialist healthcare, but the profits will be offshored. So, yes, that's the plan.
Why don't they just create some kind of mechanism to help people in schools and healthcare without all this other garbage?
Well, because they're not George Norrie and they're not Alex Jones. They're not a normal person that wants to build a good civilization. The truth is, with our industrial capability and our science, we should all be working 2 days a week, living like kings. But the globalists have created artificial scarcity. They call it Agenda 21, which is being trampled and trampled upon. It is a society that gets worse, not better.
I mean, they should give us 100% of our money, no taxes other than Social Security and Medicare. I think we need to support that. And, you know, let people use their money for their own purposes.
Exactly. But there's all these corporate interests. I mean, take Warren Buffett. Anybody can search Warren Buffett, biggest recipient of bailout money. You'll get McClatchy and AP. Warren Buffett's companies, last time I checked, have gotten $400-plus billion in the last five different bailouts. They've had it under different names since 2008. And he's also the biggest lobbyist to raise taxes on the middle class. Well, of course he is. He literally gets your tax money. So, of course, he wants to raise your taxes because he's exempt. Google, General Electric, the NFL, they're all tax exempt, but I'm not. George Norrie's not.
Oh, no. I'm far from that.
Exactly.
Oh, boy.
Listen, we think of discrimination as black versus white or Muslim versus Christian or whatever. Folks, the real discrimination is that these big corporations that run the government and that lobby for socialism, they're exempt from it, like diplomatic immunity. I've had enough.
Mike is in.
I got to ask. Tell me your story, because I've met him a few times and was friends with his dad. You know, his dad's pretty old now, but know the family. Where did you run into Mel Gibson? Because he's a really cool guy.
Mel Gibson was at a restaurant in Beverly Hills, and he sat by himself. He was waiting for some people to show up. I did a quick little hello to him. You know, you don't want to sit down with them because they feel strange about that. But great guy. I mean, he was considering the problems he has had in the past, and I think a lot of it had to do with drinking.
Yeah, taking out a couple.
You know, he was. I bought him a green tea, and Robert Davi, the actor, sent me a text message because they're going to be in. It's a movie they just did in Europe. Transformers 3 or something like that. Something like that. Anyways, he sent me a message and said, don't buy him a drink. Send him tea.
So, well, I'll tell you this.
That's what I did.
I happen to know for a fact, and I'll just leave it at this, that Mel Gibson is a patriot, does listen to our shows, and watches my films. I'm not going to say any more than that. And that he knows all about the New World Order. I was a little kid.
By the way, Expendables. That's the name of the movie. Expendables.
Expendables. Yeah. No. But I mean, look. I don't agree with some of the things Mel Gibson said when he's been drinking tequila. But he's a great guy, and I'm glad you got to meet him.
Yeah. I mean, what a powerhouse, though, considering the days when he started in Mad Max, right? Which, strangely enough, could happen. We could live that lifestyle.
Just give us the gas. We spare your lives.
Walter in Riverside, California. Go ahead, Walter. You with us?
Hi, George. George, I love the show. You do a really good job for entertainment and a lot of fact findings and going on.
That's what we're here for, Walter.
Hey, Alex, I'm a fellow Texan. I was born in Arlington, right there at Memorial Hospital. A lot of times I tell people I'm 50% Texan, 50% Pilgrim. I got 11 times generation ties to that. But, hey, you guys are doing a good job because I saw in the Super Bowl tonight, after the game, they announced the MVP for the game, and he had a podium. And, of course, there's a lot of press in there. And right before the guy could talk, and he had his mouth right up to the microphone. Somebody ran up there and jumped up and grabbed the mic and says,
9/11 is an inside job. I have the video. It's on YouTube. I'm going to tweet it.
What happened? I missed that.
Jones.
I missed that, Alex. What happened?
You can actually, if your guys want to play it, they can play it. Just go to YouTube and type in NFL guy says, it's a weird headline. In fact, let me just actually pull it up. I've actually got it right here.
Was he one of your guys?
No, I don't know who he is, but I just exited out like a moron. I'm going to pull it up here in just a minute. But the point is, the headline is NFL guy says 9/11's an inside job, and it's about a 30-second video. You've got the most valuable player of the game up there talking.
How did
the mic says 9/11's an inside job? But here's the good news: as soon as the show ends in 15 minutes and goes into overdrive or whatever, I will tweet at Real Alex Jones. I will tweet the video.
Did they jump the guy? What happened to him?
No, he kind of just says it. They shove him away, and he runs off into the dark.
All right.
What did you think about that, caller?
That's pretty good. Go ahead, Walt.
That was great. You know what? Also, I just wanted to say to George, you know that the Seahawks won. You know what that means?
What's that mean?
They were the better team, of course.
All right. You're right. No, the better team. They destroyed Denver. I was in Denver a couple weeks ago, Alex, working on Beyond Belief, and everybody there, they were just thrilled to death that the Broncos were going to the Super Bowl, and I'm going to be going back in a couple weeks to do another series of TV shows. It's going to be interesting to see those same people, how depressed they must be tonight. That was a shellacking.
That's why I have a problem with sports, is that it's fun to watch a good game. But then everybody gets so depressed if their team loses or gets excited if they win. What about if we have a free country again? What if millions of people cared about the Constitution again and yelled and screamed about freedom and yelled and screamed about not shipping General Motors to China with bailout money or not shipping Jeep to Italy? What if Americans cared about what made America great? I mean, old-timers cared about politics. They cared about issues. They cared about sovereignty. Americans were known for being rugged individuals. Now we're known for being rugged sports team fans and joining the collective, and, you know, that's really my issue. But, you know, I was at brunch today having a business meeting, doing research, and I probably had, let's not exaggerate, 10 people come over and say, even though they knew who I was, Alex, and you know, knew that I have an issue with sports being our god, our idol, Alex, who do you think is going to win? Peyton Manning, the Broncos. And I said, you know, I said, everybody keeps saying they're going to win. I said this publicly today on my own Sunday show before the game. I said, because everybody's saying Peyton Manning's going to win and is invincible, just like this, you know, not even God can sink this ship, a.k.a. Titanic. I predicted it would be the Seahawks just because that tends to happen when people get too overconfident.
That's
but
right.
Literally, one guy came over. He said, who do you think's going to win, Alex? He's like, who do you think's going to win, Alex? And I went, well, I think the Seahawks. Everybody says it's the Broncos. And he goes, well, look at that dummy. You're a dummy. Literally.
Well, look what happened. I'm convinced, by the way, sporting events keep the lid on the population. They keep them calm and entertained so they don't have to concentrate on these issues?
Well, of course, absolutely. They're called gladiatorial diversions, ancient Rome.
It's brilliant.
Today, Hitler was force-fed sports. That's my point. Sports are good. They're healthy. They're good for young people. Competition's good, learning sportsmanship. But when government gets involved and pushes gun control and socialist health care and listen, they would take a Scientology ad and run it tonight, but they wouldn't run a Daniel Defense ad that didn't even show a gun but talked about a man's right to defend his family. So they wouldn't take $4 million from a gun manufacturer, but they take one from another group. I think it should be to the highest bidder, and as long as there's no decency standards being violated, you know, like Janet Jackson at the NFL or whatever, I think they should run advertising. It's very dangerous when people start discriminating against advertising.
No question about it. Let's go to Wild Card, Eric in Toronto. Lots of calls from Canada tonight. Alex, go ahead, Eric.
Hey, George. Hey, Alex.
Howdy.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Good. I'm a big fan of you both. I call you guys the Northern Stars Rising after, like, the Northern Star Mariners used to use to navigate the world's oceans in complete darkness. And the world certainly grows dark these days.
It does.
Yeah, Alex, I've been following you and your movement ever since you pulled the curtain down on the Mickey Mouse Club going on at the Bilderberg Group meetings in Bohemian Grove back in the 90s. I think you got the horns of a bull even going in there after all the reporters went missing, never to be found, and so on. So anyway, I got a two-part question. I'll try and make it as concise and short as possible. I've been trying to call in for about a year, so I finally got through. So got a bit of a lot to say. But basically, my first part is, when the globalists enact their next big step, you know, like they did back in September 2001 with the false flag attack to end all others, when the millions of people out there came to their senses after comparing the official 911 report to all the other independent reports, you know, such as the demolition experts and the witnesses that said they saw teams of painters going into the Twin Towers painting all the rebar supports, which now purportedly turned out to be possibly thermite.
Eric, were you the Super Bowl guy? You were the Super Bowl guy, weren't you?
No, I'm from Toronto, Canada.
All right.
First-time caller, lifetime listener. When the next big one comes, when there is now a divide, unlike back in 2001, between society that thinks it was real, 9/11, it was a quote-unquote terrorist attack, and then the people that think it was fishy at best, what do you think the elite's new course of action is going to be to try and sell the next big lie to the now greater informed public? You know, like as you said, Alex, in one of your previous broadcasts, their old tricks are failing. So how do you envision them upping the ante to be able to sell their next big, you know, false flag or next big lie?
Good question. How do they sell that one? Eric, we'll let you listen to it. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, I just tweeted at Real Alex Jones the video. It's only 15 seconds long of the press conference being taken over with the MVP and the man saying 9/11 was an inside job and running off the stage. I think the power structure is scared of the fact that we're aware that sometimes governments stage the Gulf of Tonkin. Sometimes they stage the Reichstag attack. Sometimes they stage different events as a pretext to be able to power grab. But sometimes terror attacks are real. But regardless of whether they're real or not, they're using them to take over our liberties and take our guns and surveil us. That does nothing to keep us safe. So regardless, it's being used to take our freedom. So we need to say we're not held hostage by terrorism, no matter who's behind it. Keep your hands off our freedom, because those that give up liberty or so-called security deserve and get neither. The greatest insecurity is a government that runs our lives. And, you know, just like we had a reporter, Dan Bedondi, who took over national press conferences, simply bringing up that the fact that they had a drill and a stand down, a drill of a bombing at the Boston bombing right when it happened, and that the brothers were both on CIA payroll, that came out in the BBC, and that they were basically hunting them down to kill them to get rid of witnesses. And that was a false flag. We don't know who ran it, but we know there were other people involved, and a bunch of people ended up getting killed and thrown in rivers, you name it, Saudi Arabians, you name it. So we don't always know exactly who's behind it. We just know when the official story is a fraud and has more holes in it than Swiss cheese. And so the mere fact that they've had to counter us in our research that 9/11 was an inside job, that doesn't mean that the government itself, or that even Bush had a Wile E. Coyote detonator plunger pushing it down. It means that criminal elements in NATO, the Pentagon, NORAD, private corporate groups opened the door for the attack to happen. That bare minimum happened. And so, bottom line, they've used it to take our freedoms. So stop letting them take our freedoms. Stop letting the terrorists win, whoever they are.
Well, that's the big question, whoever they are. They could be in every nook and cranny, Alex. Bob?
Absolutely, but you got a better chance dying from a honeybee sting than terrorists. So it's just like people think gun violence is at epidemic levels. It's down by 51%, Justice Department's own numbers, since 1992. The media creates these illusions.
Let us try to squeeze in one last caller. Bob in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Go for it real fast, Bobby.
Okay, real fast. Is this why all the states are now allowing concealed carry? And then my follow-up kind of with the sports thing, does that mean that all the players and all the players' agents aren't paying taxes on that either? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks. You're doing a good job, and God bless America, man.
All right. Now, the players and the agents, they're paying their taxes. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're paying. A lot of the owners aren't paying most of it. They're not paying for the sports stadiums. They're not paying for the security. And they're not paying taxes on their corporate profits. And so, basically, they write the loopholes. I mean, if you wonder why all these rich guys are always lobbying for more taxes, it's because they're exempt. Make everybody be under the same law, then you'll get justice.
I don't think every state has allowed concealed carry.
No. There are several that haven't.
Illinois just passed it because they were compelled by a judge.
Supreme Court, yeah. Yeah,
and so be it. But, Alex, we are out of time. Be well. Let's keep in touch with each other. You are a true patriot. So you're going to update InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com?
Yes, sir. And I just tweeted out that short video. People want to see it at Real Alex Jones on Twitter. And I know I'm always thanking you when I'm on, but it's such a pleasure. Yes. To be part of a show that I'm a big listener of, and to you and Tom and Lisa and the whole crew and your listeners, God bless you, and thanks for having me on, George.
You got it, Alex Jones. Now, in a moment, we're going to go live to the United Kingdom as we talk about haunting. So get ready for that, part of our classic Sunday night, Coast to Coast AM.